Welcome, everyone, to Martinsville Community Methodist. Today is a special message. It's one that was not preached in the service, but yet I wanted to get this message out as it is in a very timely manner about what is happening in the heavens. So let us pray. Father in heaven, we rejoice in you, and as I walk through these scriptures and develop this message, Lord, I pray that you will comfort us, knowing that these are the start, the birth pangs of leading to not only the end of the church age, but also to the closer time of your return. And we ask a blessing upon this teaching. In the name of Christ our King, amen. First, please open your hymnals to page 112 for the reading there of the Chronicle of Wisdom. May God grant that I speak with judgment, and I have thoughts worthy of what I've received. For God is the God even of wisdom and the corrector of the wise. Wisdom is more mobile than any motion because of her purity. Wisdom pervades and penetrates all things. For she is a breath of the power of God and pure emanation of glory of the Almighty. Therefore, nothing defiles gains entrance into wisdom. For she is a reflection of the eternal light, a spotless mirror of the working of God, an image of God's goodness. Through wisdom is but one, she can do all things while remaining in herself. Wisdom renews all things. Every generation, wisdom passes into holy souls and makes them friends of gods and prophets. Truly, God loves nothing as much as those who live with wisdom. For she is more beautiful than the sun and excels every constellation of the stars. Compared with the night, she is found to be superior. For light is succeeded by the night, but against wisdom, evil does not prevail. Let us continue in our hymnal, 859 in the hymnal, Psalms 147. Read with me. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. A song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem and gathers the outcast of Israel. The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The Lord determines the number of the stars and gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord, abundant in power, whose understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the downtrodden and casts out the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody upon the lyre of our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, prepares rain for the earth, makes grass grow in the hills. The Lord gives the beast their food, and the young ravens that cry. The Lord takes no delight in the might of the horse, nor the pleasure of the strength of the runner, but the Lord takes pleasure in the faithful, in those who hope is in the Lord's steadfast love. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise our God, O Zion. The Lord strengthens the bars of the gates. Blessed your children in your midst. Makes places in your borders, fills you with the finest wheat. The Lord sends forth commands to the earth. The word runs swiftly. The Lord gives snow like wool, scatters hoar frost like ashes, casts the ice like morsels. Who can withstand its cold? The Lord sends forth the world and melts them away, makes the wind blow and the waters flow. The Lord declares the word to Jacob, the statutes and ordinance of Israel. The Lord has not dealt with us with other nations. They do not know God's ordinances. Praise the Lord. There is the reading of the Psalms. For our reading today, we are reading from Revelations chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, a great sign appeared in heaven, and a woman clothed with sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain, to give birth. So is the reading of the Word of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as I walk through these passages and walk through this article, Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom, open our hearts, an understanding of how you work within your kingdom. And we pray this in the name of Christ our King. Amen and amen. Does God use the stars and the heavens as a sign to humanity? Well, the answer is yes. And we don't even think about them. At the creation of the world, God put signs in the heavens, and we can find this right in Genesis at the point of creation, 1 verse 14, where it says, God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. I want you to understand, since the creation of the world, God intended the stars, the moon, the sun, and all these things to also provide us signs from God of where we're at on this prophetical journey through his book. And in fact, I believe that God has given us a sign in our modern times of where we're at and where we're headed. But if you look back in the scripture, we do have other incidences, other signs, especially about the sun. Many times we skip over it because we don't understand it, but it's there. One of them is in Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. Let me read you about what happened in chapter 10 of Joshua. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in that day, when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, O sun, stand still at Gibeon, and O moon of the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped, until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jashar? And the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and did not hasten and go down for about a whole day. There was no day like that before it or after it when the Lord listened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So literally, they're in the middle of a battle, and Joshua makes this declaration, and the sun stops, and it stays there until they finished the job of annihilating their enemies. Now, this is a miraculous event. And in fact, there have been several books I've read where people have gone back in the astronomical tables and they do find this anomaly about that date and time, where it looks like the sun may have stopped. Now, of course, according to the scientists, the physicists, all of that, that is an impossibility that everything would just stop and would not rip apart the world. But yet, here we have the story, and here we have the evidence back in the astronomical charts. So God has used the sun as a sign that Israel was to have victory. It was a sign to Israel. And in fact, we have another time that we have a sign for Israel, and that is in the story of Isaiah with King Hezekiah. And let me read you that story. Isaiah chapter 38, verses 7 through 8. This shall be a sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will cause the shadow of the stairway, which has gone down with the sun on the stairway of Ezah, to go back up 10 steps. So the sun's shadow went back 10 steps on the stairway in which it had gone down. This is not some trick or magic. This actually happened. The sun reversed course. It went back. Again, I've heard people look at the astrological tables and say there was some type of anomaly there. They're not sure, but things just did not add up. And then, of course, there is Good Friday, which is coming up shortly. On Good Friday, there was clearly an eclipse when Jesus died. Yet, even though there was a full moon, God created an eclipse. And let's see that in Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 46. That was about the sixth hour. Darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, because the sun was obscured and the veil of the temple was torn, and Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having this, he breathed his last. So as you can see, these eclipses create some historical relevance. There's a connection between what's happening in the stars and what God is doing here on Earth. But where else have we seen an eclipse of the sun have some great historical event? Well, for some of these answers, I want to walk through an article I found at WND, that's WorldNet Daily, which if you look at my blog post, you'll find it a link to it. It's called Biblical Expert, Solar Eclipse to Mark Beginning of Judgment Upon America. So let me read through some of that article. Well, actually, I'm going to read the whole article and add some comments as I read along. And this particular author is in Israel. So it titles Israel. An unusual total eclipse that will traverse North America in April has some biblical experts pointing to a deeper significance of the event, especially in light of today's extremely unsettled times. With a deep understanding of classical Jewish and Christian sources, Pastor Mark Blitz of El Shaddai Ministries is sharing his insights into the upcoming solar eclipse, which will take place on Monday, April 8th, 2024, which is, of course, is tomorrow from the release of this recording. The total eclipse will pass over Mexico from the Pacific Ocean at around 11 o'clock in the morning, Pacific time, continue over the United States, starting to the southwest, move northwest until it passes over the shores of the northeast United States in northern Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine. The eclipse will exit continental North America on the Atlantic coast in Newfoundland, Canada at 5:16 p.m. NDT. It will be the first solar eclipse that will be visible in the continental United States since August 21, 2017. The only total solar eclipse in the 21st century, where the total will be visible in Mexico, United States, and Canada. It will also be the last solar eclipse visible in the continuous United States for the next two decades, until August 23, 2024. Now, some of you remember, I hope, the eclipse of August 21st, 2017. My wife and I were back in the States during that time, and we took time to go see that eclipse. It was an interesting time. Let me continue reading the article. Solar eclipse occurs when the moon passes between the Earth and the sun, thereby obscuring the image of the sun for a viewer on Earth. A total solar eclipse occurs when the moon's apparent diameter, as seen from Earth, is larger than the sun's, blocking all direct sunlight and turning the day into darkness. As it happens, the moon will make the month's closest approach to Earth just 223,000 miles one day before the total solar eclipse, thereby appearing its largest on the day it crosses between the Earth and the sun. The total eclipse occurs only in a narrow path across the Earth's surface, with a partial eclipse over a surrounding region thousands of miles wide. In the Bible, solar events are recorded as having a remarkable or sometimes supernatural significance. Control over the sun demonstrated by God in the three-day plague of darkness was prophesied to be an essential part of the end times. The prophet Joel, in chapter 2, verse 31, predicts, quote, The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the coming of the great dreadful day of the Lord. Unquote. The prophet Amos makes a similar prediction. Quote, and in that day, dash, declares my God, dash, I will make the sun set at noon and darkness in the earth on a sunny day. Unquote. Now remember, these are prophetical events that have yet to happen. They are predictions that are given by prophets to indicate the arrival or in the middle of the end times. Continuing, in the giving rebuke to Hezekiah to inform him that he would die from an illness, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 13:9, wrote, quote, the stars and constellations of heaven shall not give off their light. The sun shall be dark when it rises. The moon shall diffuse no glow. Quote, as Isaiah predicted, and as much later calculated by NASA, on March 5th in 702 BC, the 16th year before Hezekiah's death, a prominent solar eclipse appeared over the Middle East, path across Arabia Peninsula, and obscured the sun over Israel was more than 60%. Note, in all of these predictions, and of this one, it's all happening over Israel. As I've talked previously, the Bible and the scriptures are all written from the perspective of sitting in Jerusalem. And so as we look at these prophecies, as we look at the things that the scripture talks about, signs, it's signs in the heavens from sitting from the perspective of Jerusalem. Continuing, a similar darkness is described in the New Testament after Jesus' crucifixion, which I already read. And again in Revelation 6:12 as a sign of the end times. Again, remember, this is all happening from the perspective of being in Israel, not some other country. Blitz, the author of Blood Moons, Decoding the Imminent Heavenly Signs, is an expert in both Christian and Jewish sources and correlates solar and lunar eclipses with biblical prophecy. He went to great lengths to explain the prophetic implications of 2017 solar eclipse, though at the time skeptics scoffed at his explanations. However, in the wake of the COVID-19 epidemic and the wars in Ukraine and the Middle East, far few objections are to be heard in advance of the upcoming 2024 solar eclipse. Quote, from a biblical point of view, a solar eclipse is meant to be a sign from God, says Blitz, citing in Genesis 1:14, that it is a sign that is beyond man's control, something he cannot manipulate. Blitz has a love for both the Bible and astronomy and takes on biblical verses as a personal service, struggling to understand the signs, celestial signs. In 2008, he was studying the dates of the solar eclipses. If you refer to NASA's data, there has been a total of 12,000 total solar eclipses all over the world listed over 5,000 years time period, said Blitz. All right. So that makes on average 2 per year. Continuing. I don't know if you realize this, but there are several different types of solar eclipses and lunar eclipses. Your total, your partial, your prenumerable. Yeah, no hybrid, different types. And so I did the math, and it's pretty simple to do. And so when I saw those, I thought, oh my gosh, when was the last time this happened? With research, Blitz discovered that a total solar eclipse took place in 1948. There was 2 solar and 2 lunar at that time, but not seen from Israel. The year that Israel declared itself a nation. And again in 1967, again, none of this happened over Israel. When Israel emerged victorious from the Six-Day War, unified Jerusalem. With little more research, he discovered another solar eclipse in 1492, the year the Jews were expelled from Spain and Portugal. Remarkably, a partial solar eclipse appeared above Rome and Jerusalem in 67 AD. 1 year later, Nero committed suicide. In the 70th year, the temple of Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans. Intrigued by these convergent facts, Pastor Blitz was puzzled by the appearance of four blood moons in 2014 and 2015. If the celestial events were signs, what did the blood moon signify? In the Epiphany, he realized that the celestial signs were part of a much larger cycle based in the Hebrew calendar. The Hebrew year, such as Rosh Hashanah in September 2014, marked the beginning of a seven-year sabbatical cycle. This is not a random seven-year cycle, Blitz emphasized. Rosh Hashanah 2014 marked the beginning of the Hebrew year 5775. The Shemitah year all go back to creation. If you divide 5775 by 7, it's precisely 825, September 2014. Or more accurately, it's the first Teshia. 5775 was the 825th Shemitah cycle since God created the world. After connecting the blood moons with the Shemitah cycle, Blitz realized that he had a prophetical significance. They came as a sign to herald war. The Yom Kippur War in 1973 was followed by four blood moons. In 1968, it happened on the very day at the beginning of the 50-year Jubilee cycle. Blitz said, in 2014, we had four blood moons, which preceded Hamas attack on October 7th, exactly one Shemot cycle later. I feel on the holy day of Shemin Atias, and on the last day of the high holidays, Hamas attack of Israel and started an iron swords war. That was the last day of the 50-year Jubilee cycle that began in 1973 with Yom Kippur War. Pastor Blitz noted the upcoming solar eclipse will take place on Rosh Hashanah Nisan, the new moon marking the beginning of the month, which was referred to in the Bible as the first month. That is the very beginning of the religious calendar. He said, it is the very day God's glory fell on Moses' tabernacle. It is inauguration day of Moses' tabernacle. It's also the same day that Nevada and Avas died for the offerings. Strange incense. The first day of Nisan has a huge biblical meaning, that is, in the beginning. And just like the beginning of the inauguration of the tabernacle, I believe this is going to be the beginning of judgment upon America. In Roshan, as Roshan Shadish Nisan was beginning of 3 days of darkness in Egypt, let's add it, the nice thing about the eclipse is that there's no false prophet can fake it, like Pharaoh in Egypt trying to have his magicians multiply frogs. An eclipse speaks in every language. It does not have to be translated. It's a uniquely powerful sign from God. Pastor Blitz referred to the Talmud as the discussion of the eclipse, Shukat 29a, which has successfully described solar eclipse as being a bad omen for nations who are based on their calendars on the solar cycle. The Talmud states that if the eclipse appears in the west, it'll be a sign for idol worship has prevailed. At the end of its section, describing the omens containing with eclipse, the Talmud states a disclaimer. When Israel has done the will of God, they have nothing to fear from this, citing the prophet Jeremiah as a source. Where he quotes in Jeremiah 10:2, "Do not learn to go the way of the nations, and do not be dismayed by portions in the sky. Let the nations be dismayed by them." And we got here, quote, "Nisan is the very beginning of a religious calendar." Blitz said, "It is that very day God's glory fell on the Moses' tabernacle. The glory failed. This inauguration, the day of Moses' tabernacle, it also is the same day. Through that day, Nevada and Avah died for their offering strange incense." So, it's a huge biblical meaning. It's the beginning. And it's just the beginning of the inauguration of the tabernacle. I believe it's going to be the beginning of judgment upon America. The eclipse path to converge on Little Egypt. Interesting. April's eclipse will have a narrow path roughly through 115 miles wide, which will cross the path of the total solar eclipse of 2017, with the intersection of the two paths being in southern Illinois in the town of Mecata, just south of Carbondale. The spectacle will last for 4 minutes and 28 seconds in the path of total darkness. This is a long and total solar eclipse of 2017. The path of the two eclipses from transcontinental X and coincide with the only spot path of both eclipses receiving double doses of the modern plague of darkness. And at that point, the longest duration for both eclipses. This particular part of the southern Illinois known as approximately enough as Little Egypt. This complete solar eclipse that traverses the continental United States in August 2017 ushered in the most devastating hurricane season in U.S. history. 4 days after the eclipse, the Hurricane Harvey made landfall on the Gulf Coast of Texas, four major hurricanes to do so over the decade. The hurricane resulted in unprecedented flooding that prompted more than 1,300 rescues, displaced for more than 330,000 people, and inundated hundreds of thousands of homes. At least 38 deaths were attributed to the hurricane, and damages were estimated up to $160 billion. Pastor Mark Blitz goes into depth concerning the current relevance of all the celestial events in his soon-to-be-released book, America at War, 2024 to 2026. Sons of Light versus Sons of Darkness, which explains heavenly signs of coming wars. So I took the time to read all that because I want you to see that this is one of the people that are advocating that the United States is going to be cursed by God because we can check on the traversing solar eclipse creates an X across the United States, with the center of that X being Little Egypt. As I read through that, first of all, I want to point out that nowhere in Scripture do we have anything talking about following the traversing trail of an eclipse. Everything in Scripture it talks about is the moment of an event happening, not what effect it has on a map. And also, I want you to note, everything in Scripture that we presented, in fact, almost everything that he discussed in there was about what events, how the signs had effect on Israel, how the effect had signs for the Jews. Not for the rest of the pagan nations, which America would count as one of those. So there is no historical evidence that solar eclipses and the places they transverse, or any biblical evidence, a correlation that how the sun's path goes across the United States is some message from God or has some direct cause and effect of what's happened in history and those particular events. Yet here we are. April 8th will be one of two solar eclipses traversing America, and it's very popular on the internet and the news that from 2017 to 2024 these two paths will create an X across America, and that is foretelling for the punishment on America, that God will divide America and it will split in two. Again, like I said, the only issue is there's nothing in Scripture that talks about, there's nothing historical that presents that these traversing paths of eclipse do anything. So don't be surprised that when it's all done on April 9th, that nothing happens. Because there really isn't anything backing up that it's God speaking. But there have been real signs in heaven that are listed in Scripture that have happened this past year. And some people took notice and some did not. And of course, these are signs that are meant for the Jews in Israel and not for America. Especially not for the Christians in America. So many Americans forget that Jerusalem is the center of the world and not America. The scriptures are written from the vantage point of Jerusalem. And so any signs of heavenly signs can be seen. If they can't be seen in Jerusalem, not God speaking to his people, the Jews. Because it's clear in scripture that God uses the signs to speak to the Jews and about what's happening to the Jewish people, not what's happening to all of humanity. So, as I read, starting off this message, the signs of Revelation 12, 1 through 2, which reads, "A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed in sun with moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out from being in labor and pain and gave birth." Again, it involves the sun, it involves the moon, and involves the stars in heaven. And what the woman they're talking about, or virgin in the sky, this would be the constellation of Virgo. So to translate this into a common understanding and verbiage, what it means is the constellation of Virgo will have in the upper part of her body or head the sun, and the moon will be located at her feet with 12 stars over her head, all visible from Jerusalem. The problem is you can see this from Jerusalem, but not at night. With the sun in the upper part of her body, or at her head, it makes real difficulty to see the constellation Virgo. So what we have to depend upon is star charts. We look at star charts. And on September 23rd, 2017, this only has occurred once in 7,000 years. According to the charts, the sun was at Virgo's shoulder, the moon was at her feet, and there were the planets, the constellation of Leo, which are there every time, but also in addition were the planets Mercury, Mars, and Venus. And along with 9 stars in Leo completed this picture in the constellation Virgo. Now, there was also Jupiter in her womb for 9 months, spinning around and around. And again, if you look at my blog post, I have a link to a picture of this. So, this happened in 2017 on September 23rd. What happened afterwards? Well, you remember, not too long after this, President Trump recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, along with many other countries, and they celebrated this on the 70th anniversary of the creation of the state. The Jews even created a coin with the head of President Trump and King Cyrus. And again, you can see a link to this on my blog post. And then on September 19th, 2023, we had a similar event. Not the same exact one. Where again in the star charts you could see from Jerusalem, the sun was near her head, the moon was at her feet, and there was Leo. And so you can actually see some other stars, but what caught people's attention was there was passing of asteroids through Virgo. One was called Child, that is the name of the asteroid given. Child is an asteroid that moves around, and at that time, on that date, it was passing through the womb. But also, Ukraine, an asteroid of Israel, 666, Wormwood, United Nations, Crimea, Yeshua, are just some of the other asteroids that were all going through that same constellation at that same time. And just to make sure that humanity was paying attention, we had the green comet Nishimura traveling through it on the same night. All of it could be seen from Jerusalem. And of course, how can I say that this secondary sign is of relevance? Because a very short time after that, on October 7th, we had the horrendous attack on Israel by Hamas that started off the current war that is currently going on and looks like to have three fronts on that war now and growing. And since we have seen these signs, and we can correlate and say that these events happened in Israel, I think it's very clear that we are now starting the birth pangs that Jesus talked about. He mentioned these in Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 8. Let me read it. As Jesus was sitting in the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will all this happen? And what will the sign be of your coming to the end of the age?" And Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise up against nations, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and all these things, the beginning of the birth pangs." So I sincerely believe that this sign in Revelation 12 has come upon us, and we are now starting to see the birth pangs come at a much greater rate. God is moving. The time of the rise of Jerusalem and Israel is now among us, and all these things that were prophesied are now starting to come about. And so, what other signs can we anticipate from this point forward? Now that we've had the signs of Revelation 12, now that all these things are taking place, and we can see Bible prophecy starting to move forward, Peter said that we would see the sun turn into darkness and the moon would turn like blood. And this was in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 21. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is the ninth hour in the morning. No, this was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters would prophesy, your young men would see visions, your old men would dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens and signs and on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great day of the glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved." And so we can look forward to more of these type events happening. And then in John, in Revelation, he talks about wormwood will strike the earth. Well, first of all, let me read what John specifically says. He says, "The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star blazing like a torch fell from the sky on the third of the rivers and on the springs of the waters. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter." That's what John has to say about it. But here's what NASA has to say about it. NASA has spotted an asteroid they've named Aphidophilus to strike the Earth on April 13th, 2029. Now, I want to point out that they've actually come back and retracted some of that in the past 6 months. They came back and said, well, maybe it won't hit the earth. It'll just kind of graze us, take a couple of our geosynchronous satellites out, but it's gonna miss us. It's actually not gonna hit us. And then they throw in a caveat, and if it doesn't hit us and it misses us, chances are it will go around the sun and come back and hit us 7 years later. And so now they're embarking on a path that when they do see it coming closer, maybe they can divert it from its path so it does miss the earth and it does not go around the sun and hit it again. But as right now, to their models and predictions, it looks like it could put the earth in peril. And there are others. Signs in heavens we know about as we look at the charts and go back in scripture and look at prophecies. But I'm going to stop there. Because as I walk through the Word of God, remember, there is no America mentioned in the Bible. So to keep looking for signs in the heavens over America and point out some biblical meaning to America is a lie. So do not pay attention to them, because that is not a sign from God. But all the signs in heaven from God to be seen from Jerusalem, signs are for the Jews in Jerusalem. Pay attention to those. The sun eclipse of 2017, 2014, or 2024, starting tomorrow, really have no meaning in Scripture. But the signs of September 2017 and 2023 that you could see over Jerusalem coincide to specific historical events. And you can see they're directly related. And you can say that these are the signs that have happened in Revelations 1 and 2. So look forward to the unfolding of the rest of the signs that are written in prophecies, and the events will now continue to come until the end times, and we have the war of Armageddon written in Revelations. Let's continue by opening in our scripture and reading the Apostles' Creed on page 881. Please join me on page 881. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let me close our time with the benediction, which I'm pulling from the hymnal on page 481, the prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is given that we receive. It is a pardon that we are pardoned, and it is dying that we are born to eternal life. Go in peace.